So it's great to have our missionaries to Poland here with us, April and Andrzej. So you know them. So this is part two, Better Together. What you preached last time really sank in. Because after that, everywhere I would go, people would look at me and say, Pastor Nathan, it's Better Together. So they were listening. So looking forward to hearing what you got today from God's Word.
Thank you very much. It's a joy to be back. It's a joy to be back here in United States, in Canterbury. It's a joy to be back with my wife and children and the family. And as you know, just I went to Poland, I went to Ukraine, and this trip was very productive. It was very successful. So thank you for your prayers. And just I don't know how many air miles, you know, are behind me, you know, just flew to Poland, Ukraine, but I'm back in one piece, and today we're going to talk about Better Together, part two, as Pastor Nathan already mentioned, and I would like to start with a quiz, and the quiz involves this equation, which is, I'm wondering if you remember it, because this is a really important equation. In the context of better together, or togetherness, or unity, 2 + 2 = okay, somebody said 5. Okay, 2 + 2 = 5.5. Okay, so just remember it. This is really important. But it shows you how important it is for us to just do things together. And you remember I shared with you this illustration of two draft horses. One of them pulls two tones, the second one, two tones. So when we put together two draft horses, we expect 4 tones, but the outcome is 5.5 tones. So better together. Okay, so today we're going to continue this theme, and I want to start with a short statement, and this is the statement. Good relationships are the result of work and effort. I'm going to repeat it. Good relationships are the result of work and effort. So when you see good marriage, I guarantee there is effort behind it. When you see good, growing, healthy church, there is effort behind it. We know that these kinds of relationships, they do not drop from the sky. We know that they are the result of good actions and effort, right? When you see good relationship, it means that these two are pouring, or these people are pouring into relationships. And of course, there are various ingredients that make quality relationships. Among them are the three following factors. The first one is decision, the second, determination, and the third one, sacrifice. And of course, a foundation for them is love, is Christ. Love generates decision, determination, and sacrifice. In fact, our relationship with God hinges on love. However, that love includes the decision, determination, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But we will talk about that later. So let's go to God's Word. If you have your Bible, I haven't prepared PowerPoint presentation. So I'm sorry. You know, just I have a jet lag, you know. So I woke up this morning at 2 a.m., went to bed 7 p.m. last night. So my life is, it's a big mess. So let's open Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses. I'm going to read, starting with verse 17 through 26. It's Luke 5:17-26. So one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." So today I want to focus on those men that helped this paralyzed man. Why? Because they exhibit some principles that we can take and apply to our relationships. So the first one that stands out is determination. I can imagine that carrying a person on a stretcher is not easy. We cannot even imagine today of carrying someone somewhere. When we think about transporting someone, we think of a car or vehicle, but not in that time. What they did required effort. Who knows how long they carried this man to the place where Jesus was. The roads in that time didn't look like our roads or sidewalks today, and we have no idea if we are talking about 2, 3, 4 or more people that carried this man. But for sure, we know that carrying a person is not easy. It is a challenge and takes effort, and for sure, it takes determination. Once they got to the house where Jesus was, there was another obstacle. You see, when they arrived, they realized there was no way to get him inside, no way to see Jesus who could heal this paralyzed man. So the house was packed with people, and probably people tightly gathered around the house. So, you know, some people would say, "Okay, guys, our mission is over. It's over. There is no way that we can get in there. Let's go home. You are dismissed." I mean, you are not dismissed yet. But this team is a team of determined men. And determination is, in this case, means we are getting in there no matter what. Just on the other side of the wall was the teacher, and they were so close. Because their determination was the driving force, they came up with a crazy idea. We're getting in there through the roof. We're getting there. We're carrying our friend up there, and we will slowly lower him just right in the front of Jesus. But before there was determination, I believe that first there was decision. Possibly this decision was made right on the spot. Maybe they talked and planned it. We have no idea. We really don't know. But even when they faced the effort of carrying and lifting this paralyzed man up onto the roof, this didn't change their decision. They had carried their plan so far, and they stuck with the decision they had made. So finally, as a result of their decision and determination, this paralyzed man was lowered down right in the front of Jesus, right at his feet. And their decision to help together, to do something together for this man, and their efforts were honored by Jesus. As a result, Jesus forgave the sins of this man and completely healed this man. So But there is one more thing. There is decision, determination. There is one more thing. One more word that is important. It is the word sacrifice. All of these men, they were determined and they wanted to help this man no matter what. The effort they made didn't end up outside the house surrounded by people. They had to lift him up, take the roof apart, and slowly and gently lower him down. And I can imagine that after everything, they fixed the roof they had taken apart. And all of this took their time and effort, and their effort was involved. This operation had its cost. I believe we can say that there was sacrifice involved in this action. So we have these three factors, these three ingredients: decision, determination, and sacrifice. And good relationships need these three words, these three factors: decision, determination, and sacrifice. I mean, building good and healthy relationship in church, we need decision, determination, and sacrifice. Building good and healthy marriages, we need these three factors. Relationships between parents and children, we need these three factors. Recently, one pastor in Poland told me that a family in the church is in real trouble. He brought me to the bus station, and just we were sitting in the car talking together. So he told me this family is in the real trouble. Things are not going well for them. So he shared it with me because for a long time we have helped and prayed for this couple. It was rather disturbing and sad news for me, and I promised that I'm going to pray for them. But for me, it was a quick reminder that we have issues in our relationships, with our relationships, and we need to fight not with each other, but fight to keep unity and togetherness and our families together. And there are no expectations. Marriages, families, friendships, and churches all need to put forth serious effort if we want to enjoy quality relationships. So the exciting news is that once we enter marriage, we get a deposit of unity and togetherness. There is something that keeps us together, which is usually at the beginning, it's this romantic love and desire to be together, this passion for each other. In the church, what glues us together is love and passion for Jesus Christ, for God. We get a wonderful deposit, which is the Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit given to us that directs us to our Heavenly Father and honors Jesus and worships Jesus in us. So this is what keeps us together and glues us together as a church. But because we are people, saved sinners, still under construction, we fail. We don't like this word, but we fail. We neglect relationships. We put relationships at risk. We make our relationships weaker. And the church is not an exception. Just listen to this passage from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. First verse to verse 8. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuit among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Can you imagine the New Testament church, the church that had just been born? Everything was so fresh for them. Jesus' ministry, Jesus' words and resurrection. The Apostle Paul, who had an amazing encounter with the resurrected Jesus, wrote the letter to them. So everything is so fresh and so new for them. But still, there were some in the church that would bring other brothers and sisters to court. This is nuts. This is unbelievable. What kind of church is that? And I think this is one of the saddest passages of the New Testament about the church in the New Testament. A passage that actually shows that our relationships are so fragile and we need to do what we are supposed to do to make sure they are good and they grow and bloom and they are quality. Usually, it means effort. I mean, I'm going to repeat myself. When you see a good marriage, usually it didn't just drop from the sky. It didn't. But the quality and beauty is a result of hard work and effort. When you see a quality church, it is the result of work that makes this fellowship of believers beautiful and strong and united. Question: do you know what has to be done to make a relationship weak? What do you have to do to make a simple relationship to become weak or mediocre? A simple word or simple answer: nothing. You simply do nothing. Doing nothing is enough to put any type of a relationship at risk. I think the greatest illustration about relationship is a garden, any relationship. A simple garden. Just leave a garden alone. Neglect it. Do nothing. No raking, no trimming, no pruning, no watering, no weeding, no airing. Just doing nothing is enough to weaken and put at risk any relationship. Nothing is enough. What does it all mean for us? It means that we need to remind ourselves that relationships require our effort. For example, I mean, just for a couple minutes, let's focus on marriage. Married people understand that one of the fundamental factors in their marriage is their decision. A decision that says, I'm with you for good and bad. It all starts with exchanged vows. This decision creates an environment of safety and trust. The decision communicates, I will always be with you no matter what. This is one of the most beautiful things we can offer our spouse: lifelong love and care and faithfulness. A decision, no matter what happens, I will be with you and for you, and we will walk through it together. And then hand in hand, together with decision, goes determination, which simply means trying hard, although facing difficulties. Thank you, the Cambridge Dictionary, because that's what it means. Trying hard, although facing difficulties. Does the average marriage face problems? Oh, yes, it does. It is just a matter of time before it happens. We all know it. And then you will need determination. You will need to try hard, really hard, although facing difficulties. So we have decision, determination, and one more, sacrifice. Spouses in good marriages know that a good marriage includes sacrifice or sacrifices factor. Actually, it is hard to imagine a married couple without acts of sacrifice, selfless acts, and compromises. If someone comes into marriage with the idea of my way or no way, that's a bad idea. I think you need to think twice before you get married. Because marriage requires compromise, selfless acts, and acts of sacrifice. Sometimes we need to save ideas, our ideas for later, or even replace them with better ideas that come from our spouse. Yes, our spouse can have better ideas than we have. Believe me, you know, just sometimes we think that we are the smartest dude, you know, on the earth. But, I mean, of course, it applies to women and men, you know. Sometimes it is about giving up your own whatever and doing something special for your spouse. Simple like that. The same applies in our relationship with our kids, with our teenagers. Raising good kids will take many decisions about loving them in spite of their behavior. When they become teenagers, our kids are good. That's what I want to tell you. But I know that generally speaking, you know, sometimes some parents love their teenagers, but they do not like them because they are not likable. That's what happens from time to time in the families. Parents love them. So, teenagers, some of you are here. Be kind to your parents. So it will be easy to love you and like you. Amen. And you know, there is something amazing, you know, that takes place in our life when we love our kids sacrificially. When they experience it, it means that they're going to actually follow it. They will just repeat what they experience with their parents. This is so important, you know, when they see that they're just one of the parents, I don't know, father or mother, spends extra hours, makes extra money because, you know, mother wants to send her daughter to the winter camp. You know, this is act of sacrifice. She doesn't have to do it. You know, you are not entitled to the winter camp, but she decides to do it. The parents decides to do it. And this is an act of sacrifice. Or father decides to spend just couple evenings with the son, you know, just, let's say, doing something or reading something. These are acts of sacrifices, you know, just because parents, they are so busy today, you know, just, and the life is so hectic. So, but all of it, because we believe that one day you teenagers will love sacrificially. And you will do the same things to your children. Okay, and the same applies to the church. When we are grafted into the body of Christ, we need to make a decision. I'm here to bless and help and pray and help this church to grow. And I'm here to love these people. And I tell you, it is not easy to love these people because we are so different. And there are at least people from Poland. How do you love people from Poland? Is it hard to love people from Poland or no? I hope not. But we need to practice our determination, you know, just in building relationships in the church, although sometimes it can be hard. And we need to be ready for sacrifices for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ, which is not easy. Building a quality and strong body of Christ takes all three. Decision, determination, and sacrifice. And Jesus accomplished it all. Jesus walked through them all. And he's the ultimate source of strength in the fight for good relationships. I'm going to read another passage from Philippians chapter 2, first 8 verses. It's Philippians chapter 2, first 8 verses. So Open your New Testament, open your Bible. Therefore, if you have, okay, Philippians 2, first 8 verses. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Is there any encouragement in Christ? And my answer is, oh yes, there is. He stripped and emptied himself of his heavenly glory. He humbled himself. Creator mighty God decided to come to this broken world to restore the relationships that people had broken and destroyed. A long time ago, this decision had been made. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit already had planned to rescue man. The plan of salvation, of restoration, this relationship. So Christ left the kingdom where he was adored and worshipped and surrounded by glory. He left his Father's kingdom and came to this broken world with broken people. It was the greatest decision ever made, a decision made before the world was created. And God already had a plan. Jesus became a servant and he became like us, except without sin. When he was on earth, he served us, and his mission required determination, lots of determination, because not all people welcomed him. People wanted to persecute him and kill him. Others simply betrayed him, but Jesus didn't give up, but with determination slowly approached the grand finale of the plan of salvation. And finally, his determination brought him to a place called sacrifice. He was so dedicated to the cause of bringing us back into relationship with God, his Father, that he died on the cross. And all of this to help us people, sinners, to be reconciled with a holy God, to have personal relationship with him. What was impossible for a single man like you and me, he and only he, God's Son, was able to accomplish. And through him, our sins are forgiven. God's justice is satisfied. Sin is punished. And through faith in Jesus, we have access to God. Amen. Think about those men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. Decision, determination, and sacrifice were involved. But the truth is, without Jesus, all of these actions were kind of like worthless, not effective, just good actions. But Jesus recognized their decision, determination, and sacrifice and healed the man and forgave his sins. Their action were honored and recognized and blessed by Jesus, by him. Their decision and determination and sacrifice in God's hands bore wonderful fruits. So think about the relationships you have with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife, with your family, with your children, younger or older. with your brother or sister in your family, or brother or sister in the church, your coworker. So the question is, what has to be done about these relationships? Do we need to make another decision so it will kind of bring a big change and transformation into this relationship? Or do we need more determination? Or do we simply need act of sacrifice? Maybe you have been trying hard, but without Jesus, it is just your effort alone. Effort is important, but effort without Jesus, well, you think, I will solve it by myself. I do not need the help of other people. But those men were determined and still needed Jesus so the man could be healed. They still needed Jesus so the man could be healed. So what does the Holy Spirit tell you today about your relationships with other people? So what about decision? What about determination? What about sacrifice in these relationships? Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. I'd like to pray. Lord God, we thank you for such an amazing example of this man that helped this paralyzed man, and they brought him to Jesus, although they were facing some obstacles, and they were so determined, so ready. They didn't give up, Lord, and this is such an amazing example for us. We want to just learn from their decision, determination, and sacrifice, and we want to just apply this rules in our life, in our relationships. And Lord, but at the same time, we understand that we need to invite Jesus to our relationships as well. Without him, we are helpless. We will just work hard. We'll get exhausted and tired. And maybe some of us are already exhausted and tired because we didn't invite Christ into these relationships. We do not listen to him. We do not follow him. So Lord, I'm praying that we'll just bring and invite Christ to every single relationship that is in our life. Lord, we know that it's not about us. It's not about our ego or our selfishness, and it's not what we want to accomplish, but it is what you want to accomplish in these relationships. So I'm just praying, Lord, please help us. Give us grace. Give us love. So these relationships will be strong. And these relationships will be quality relationships. So we will truly enjoy these relationships. And Lord, they are given to us. All of these relationships are given to us so we can enjoy them. And Lord, that's what we want to do with your help. We want to enjoy relationships that we have in our families, in our churches, places where we work. And we know that this is possible because of Jesus. And we thank you for him, that he came and he showed us the way how to love, how to invest in relationships. We're praying in this precious name, his name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.